Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Acts chapter number 1. Verse number 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us comfortless. You said, Lord, I'll send you another comforter. He dwells in us today. I pray, God, you fill us today with thy Spirit, that we might say, Lord, these things that you put in our hearts. Help us, our Lord, to be receptive to the Word of God. Jesus, you're coming. Lord, help folk to get ready for you coming. Lord, I think about the man that passed away yesterday evening. Yet on Thursday, Lord, he told his mom, said, Mom, I'm ready. Lord, what a blessing it is to be ready. Ready not only to live, but ready to die. Ready to meet Jesus. I pray, God, today you'll speak to hearts. In thy name we pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about this same Jesus. This same Jesus. There's just three things I want to magnify in the chapter, in the verses that we've read this morning. The Bible, I will remind you, said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Word of God told us, I believe it's in the book of Malachi, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Things in this world are changing every day. One of our devotions last week dealt with relationships. And society has really changed its mind about relationships. It's okay in this society to shack up. It's okay for a man to be with a man, woman to be with a woman. It's okay in this society. Hollywood promotes adultery, but you don't even have to go to Hollywood anymore. All you got to do is go to the neighborhood. Amen. Adulterous affairs going on everywhere you look. But I want you to know that our Lord, he's not changed his mind one bit about what's right and about what's wrong. You say, Pastor, you're narrow-minded. I guess so. I'm a pretty good guess at measurements. About 2 inches wide. Amen. That's about how narrow my mind is from Genesis to Revelation. We don't need to add to it. Matter of fact, it's dangerous to add to it. It's dangerous to take away from it. And God wants us to see three things here today in this text that I believe will help us. This same Jesus. I want you to think about, first of all, his passion. The Word of God said in verse number 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. I want to take a survey this morning. Has anybody in here been to the Townsend, Tennessee to see the Passion play? Has anybody seen that play? I don't know if it's still going on or not. I can't believe that. But I'm going to tell you, it was in an outdoor amphitheater. I saw it years ago. And I also know that the best they can do, it's hard to depict the suffering of our Lord. The very best that you can do, it's hard to depict. But it made a mark in my life, even as they were acting it out, the passion play, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that greater love hath no man than this. Can I tell you something about his passion, about his love for you and his love for me? It's the same yesterday and today and forever. When he was hanging on the cross, he loved me. When he was speaking the world into existence, he loved me. You say, Pastor, he didn't even know you. I beg to differ with you. The Word of God said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Someone wrote a song, and it's a wonderful song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. But I want you to know this. Long before the cross, I was on his mind. He saw a little snotty-nosed boy riding a bus to church. He knew that little boy needed some guidance in his life, so he gave him a big old Sunday school teacher with a voice that scared the devil out of any little boy. Amen. And I'm telling you, you didn't act up in his class. Amen. There's about 8 or 10 of us boys in that class. And you sat there, beloved, like soldiers listening to the Word of God. He worked all week. He was a guard in a big factory. All he had to do was go around, check locks and check doors. He worked the night shift. That's all he had to do as far as the company. But Brother Michael, he spent his nights memorizing the Word of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, he was a wonderful, wonderful influence in my life. God loved me through different people. God loved me, and God still loves me. God loved you, and he still loves you. My little granddaughter had on a t-shirt last week. It said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank God Almighty. You see, in the Bible school, she raised her hand, but she's 6 years old and she don't understand yet. I talked to her out at the shelter. But I'm going to tell you something. The day will come when she'll understand. I'm the sinner and Jesus is the Savior. And the sinner needs the Savior. His passion. Can you think about for just a moment, beloved, this time that Jesus spent with these people? Think about it. Beloved, we not only know that he loved them, but they knew that he loved them. Now I want you to think about, secondly, in the message today, his people. I want you to think about in this chapter what's going on here. There's a coordination between our Savior and the saints of God in this chapter. Not only in this chapter, but in these 40 days. I want to give you some things that God put in my heart. Number one, our Lord enlisted his people. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Beloved, listen, the Bible said, Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Let me give you something to think about. These people here were not drafted. They volunteered. Can I tell you something this morning? If you'd ever get a glimpse of Calvary, you'd volunteer too. If you could ever walk by the empty tomb and say, you men of Galilee, you could see him go up into heaven. You'd be saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, they didn't have to be drafted into the service of God. They lined up and they volunteered to do something for God. They were enlisted. Why? Because his passion made a difference in their life. Amen. They knew that they were loved. They knew that, as the Bible said over in the book of Joshua, Joshua said, "Are you for us?" Or I'm paraphrasing, "Are you against us?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the Lord's host," he said, "take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." Amen. That same captain is that same Jesus that I serve. That same one that was the rock in the wilderness with the children of Israel is the same Jesus that I serve. That same one that's the chief cornerstone is the same Jesus that I serve this morning. The one that gave us the Word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That same Jesus is the one I serve this morning. Beloved, He enlisted them in His army. Why did they love Him? I'll tell you why. Same reason I do. Because He first loved me. And they realized, beloved, listen, it's easy to serve someone that you love and you know loves you. Amen. It's easy for me to do what needs to be done for my wife because she loves me. And it's not just words, amen, but it's actions, it's deeds. And so His people were enlisted. But then not only were His people enlisted in this chapter, but His people were encouraged. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, I said in the enlistment that it was His passion that made the difference. And in being encouraged, it was His presence that made the difference. You see, only God can come up with a plan like this. Jesus didn't raise from the dead. Now, He did go back and, I believe, put the blood on the mercy seat. Amen. Because everything in heaven is a type. Everything in that Old Testament is a type of what's real in heaven. I believe that's why He told Mary, "Touch me not. I've not yet ascended unto my Father." He had a job to do. Amen. He was going to go apply the blood. Why would He do that? So that when a sinner like me gets on his knees and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," that blood could be applied in my heart and in my life. Amen. And I believe this morning, beloved, listen, that He encouraged them. The reason for this 40-day span is so, Brother Chris, the doors being shut, He could step in the midst. They're gathered for fear of the Jews. He could say, "Peace be unto you." Glory to God. He encouraged them. Amen. Peter needed to be encouraged. Peter had blown it. Peter had cursed. Peter had denied Him. You get to John chapter 21. He has a meeting with Jesus. Amen. You've heard of a come to Jesus meeting? But he had a come to Jesus meeting. Amen. And he left there no longer interested in fishing for fish, but he left there interested in fishing for me, and just like God said that He would do. His people, they're enlisted, they're encouraged, amen. His presence made the difference in their lives. Then not only do you see His passion and His people enlisted, His people are encouraged, but His people are enlightened. You see, I believe that we need enlightenment. I'm reminded, I think, Brother John, you're the one that told me this. There was a tent meeting going on. And no doubt an old country boy, he was in the altar praying. And he was praying for the preacher. The preacher was on the altar praying too. And this old boy was praying, "Oh God, oh God," he said, "eliminate his mind." And the preacher's on the other side saying, "Oh God, please don't do that." Amen. What he meant was illuminate his mind. That's what he meant. Can I tell you something about the Holy Ghost? It got to heaven right. Say amen. God knew what that man was praying for the preacher. Amen. That, listen, the pastor, the preacher, and a Christian, we need to be enlightened. Amen. We need God to shine a light on His Word and shine a light in our heart that we might understand what God wants us to do. You see, in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, not only was it His passion that made the difference in their enlistment, and it was His presence that made the difference in their encouragement, but beloved, His program made the difference in their enlightenment. They were enlightened to what God was doing. I got to thinking last night, listen, we don't just have idiots in the country. We got a bunch of them in Washington, D.C. too.
Amen.
You should have told us before you done that. Why? So you could tell the whole world? Say amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. I better not get on that. Amen. I better not get on that. But I'd like for them to be enlightened. what we should have done was just, well, never mind. You know her initials. You know, telegraph and telephone, telegram, and telewoman. Amen. But anyway, there's one in Washington that would have spread it around real quick. Say amen. She's the one calling for impeachment, by the way. Amen. I'm telling you, they ain't got a brain in their head. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's the matter with you? Nothing. I'm just glad I understand God's program. It was a program in chapter number 1 and verse number 8. The Bible said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. I'm glad I understand why God did not take me to heaven the night that he saved me. Amen. He made me ready for heaven the night that he saved me. But why didn't he take me? Because he had a plan. He had a program in mind. He wanted me to be a witness. He wanted me to send witnesses. See, we don't go to all the world, but we have a wonderful missions program where we can send missionaries all around the world. And it's the same message. It's the same gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. It's the same message. It's a Bible message that needs to be heard everywhere around the world. And the Word of God lets us in on his program. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Let me say something to you. It still works. You'd be surprised how many preachers today never witness one-on-one to anybody. You'd be surprised. I'm talking about preachers that never one time, beloved, open their mouth and share the gospel with anybody else. And I believe it's a shame. Say amen. We don't understand. We've not been enlightened as to his program. What was his program? What did it involve? Verse number 4, he said, wait. Wait for the promise. The Bible said, he that ministereth, let him wait on his ministry. He that teacheth, let him wait on his teaching. Waiting is not easy. Waiting is work. Waiting on the Lord is work. Amen. It really is. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, his program, he enlightened them. He said, I want you to wait. And then in verse number 8, he's talking about witness and winning others. Amen. I want you to wait on me, and then I want you to witness. Amen. I could tell you story after story after story how that God works on both ends. Amen. He puts somebody on your heart. Well, guess what? He's working on that heart over there too. Amen. And it's a blessing to see the Lord bring forth fruit out of that situation. And when we enlightened to his program, we want to be a part of it. We can wait on him, and we can win others. And then in verse 9 through 11, not only does he want us to wait, and not only does he want us to witness, but he wants us to watch. Look at verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They're standing there looking. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? Brother John, Brother Jones would put in right there, occupy till he comes. Amen. Don't just stand here looking up into heaven. There's a work to be done. Amen. And he said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Beloved, we're to watch for him. Amen. Watch and pray. Listen, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, somebody would say, well, that was over 2,000 years ago. So let me give you this. In God's timetable, a couple days. He said one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's just been gone a couple days. Amen. And he's coming back. just like the Word of God said. Amen. And then God not only enlisted His people and He encouraged His people, it's the same Jesus that's doing the enlisting, doing the encouraging, doing the enlightening, but then He enabled His people. You see, what God wants His people to do cannot be done in the energy of the flesh. We need God's power in order to do. We need God to enable us. Amen. It was His power that made the difference. He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The power of God is what we need in this day and in this hour. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not going to get that from CNN. We're not going to get that from MSNBC. We're not going to get that from Fox News. We're not going to get that from Hollywood. We're going to have to get that from God's book. We're going to have to get back on our knees, and we're going to have to seek God's face and ask God for the power of God on our lives. Amen. That we might do the work that He's called us to do. I want you to go with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to show you a man where God's power made the difference. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Read a few verses here. This is speaking of the Apostle Paul. In chapter number 1 of 1 Timothy, Paul said this, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Every man of God in this room ought to be humbled by that statement. God trusted you with the most precious thing in the world. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord," look at this, "who hath what? Enabled me." Paul, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was learned. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he said, when it comes to the gospel, he said, "All my learning, all my schooling is not going to help me." He said, it had to be the Lord that enabled me. When I read that this morning early, I thought about my grandfather. My grandfather said this, "If God calls you to do something, He'll equip you to do it." Amen. I believe that, don't you? And Paul said, "He enabled me, for He hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You're looking at a pastor this morning that still believes that men don't volunteer for the ministry, but God puts men in the ministry. Amen. There's a call of God involved with the ministry. Amen. That God has given to us. And he said, "Let me remind you something. I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious." He said, "But I obtained mercy." Oh, aren't you glad you obtained mercy? Glory to God. He said, "Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." There's that passion again. "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." One of the reasons I love the Apostle Paul is because when he said sinners, talk about sinners, he says, "Look here, I'm the chief." Talk about saints, he said, "Find the least and put me under them. I'm less than the least." God can use that attitude. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, He enabled this man, Paul, to preach the gospel. He enabled Peter, the one that had failed, to stand on the day of Pentecost. It was the power of God that made the difference. This same Jesus, we've looked at His passion. We've looked at His people. And then I want to look at just real quickly His promise. I want you to see this with me this morning. I want you to look at His promise concerning three things. Number one, concerning redemption. Look at chapter 2, please, and verse number 21. Chapter 2 and verse number 21. And the Bible said, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Y'all see that? Did you know that was there? Most everybody knows that's in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. But a long time before Romans chapter 10, God said it'll come to pass. Before Paul was even saved, He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let me give you a little illustration. I was in the prison years ago, and I'm not saying this, it doesn't have anything to do with race, but just telling the story. I was preaching the first night in the prison, and I preached on the subject, five reasons why I don't want to go to hell and one reason why I'm not. Some of those reasons why I don't want to go to hell was the separation from the faithful. See, hell is a place of separation. And then there was the severity of the flames. And then I'll never remember it all, but there was a sumptuous life that'll never be forgotten. That rich man, beloved, remember what the Bible said? Son, remember. Son, remember, in thy lifetime you had your good things. Amen. But I remember the last thing in the message was the souls that are following. Because that man realized, that rich man, I got five brothers. Yeah. And listen, he said, would you send Lazarus? Would you send Lazarus? And he said, no, can't do that. He said, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, they don't believe the word of God. He said, neither would they believe though one rose from the dead. Amen. You understand that? And then the one reason why I'm not going to hell, this is the message I preached in the first night of that meeting. The one reason I'm not is a Savior that forgives. That's the only reason. I'm not going to escape hell because I pray. I'm not going to escape hell because I read the Bible or because I preach or because I tell others about Jesus. I'm going to escape hell because there's a Savior. His name is Jesus that forgives sin. Amen. And so I didn't know it, but this man, that night, he made a trip down the altar in that prison. And on the third night, I'm not preaching the third night, I'm working the altar. I'm just standing there and a man comes up to me. He's a big man. He's a black man. And I'm just telling you that because that's the story. He was big and he was a black man. And I said, sir, I took his hand and I said, sir, why did you come? And he said this, Brother John, he said, I just don't know if I'm saved. Well, I said, well, what makes you think that you might even be saved? And he started telling the story. He said, the other night, you was preaching on hell. And he said, I come down here and he said, there was a man told me if I was sick of my sin and I'd turn from my sin and I'd trust Jesus, he would forgive me. And I asked him to forgive me. And Brother Chris, not before or since, is what I said to the man. I said, I know what the problem is. I said, I know exactly what the problem is. I turned in my Bible to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. And I said, read that right there. And he read it out loud. I said, here's the problem. I said, God didn't mean that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, God didn't mean that. Oh, Brother Michael, he swelled up. He said, he did too, preacher. Yeah, he did. He said, he meant every word he said in that Bible. I mean, it taken God's defense real quick. You know what I mean? And I said, you know what? I'm inclined to agree with you, brother. I said, he did mean every word in that Bible. I said, here's the problem. I got it now for sure. He said, what? I said, you didn't mean it. I said, you come down here the other night playing some game and you asked Jesus to save you and have mercy on you and you're just playing a game and you didn't mean it. I didn't say another word. It seemed like an eternity. It probably wasn't more than 15 or 20 seconds. He started shaking his head back and forth. Then he started talking. You don't understand. You don't understand. I never said a word. You don't understand. Then he said this. I meant it with all my heart. I still never said a word. Brother John, another few seconds went by and that old boy threw both hands up there. He said, I'm saved. He said, praise God, I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Did you know it's possible to be saved and not have assurance? Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And listen, everybody, amen, needs not only to be saved, but I love the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see, listen to me. This missionary standing in front of that man could not tell him that he was saved. But the Holy Ghost, the power of God showed up. And it's only the Holy Ghost
Amen.
That can tell a man you is or you ain't.
Amen.
You're either in or you're out. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. Ain't no preacher can settle that in your heart. Only the Lord can settle that in your heart. There was His promise concerning redemption. That's one of the reasons that I know that, Brother Ralph, I know that you've told me before about Brother Jack and the conversation you had. He told you to go read your Bible and look up the word eternal and look up the word everlasting. Brother Ralph was one of them who was of the persuasion that you could get saved and then you could lose it. And he started looking in his Bible. That's what Brother Jack, that's pretty good advice that Brother Jack give you, wasn't it? But you know the reason I know I'm going to heaven? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, I know them. Now watch this. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Brother Gary, if I was ever go to hell, that would mean Jesus lied right there. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He don't lie. He can't lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
It's a God that I serve that cannot lie. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, it's blessing to go to bed. The song over there they sung a while ago, do you know how it feels to lay your head on your pillow at night? Glory to God, I lay my head down many times concerned about the souls of others, but I don't lay my head down concerned about my own. That's taken care of in Calvary. What God wants to do, beloved, is use us. His promise concerning redemption. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Boy, he said, Pastor, Paul should have told that jailer more than that. Don't look like to me. He needed to. You see, because that jailer got in. Amen. That jailer that applied the stripes, now in the middle of the night's washing them.
Amen.
Not only did that jailer get saved, but his family got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. His promise concerning redemption. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich. Glory to God, he's rich in mercy. He's rich unto all of them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I found out one day I could be a whosoever. Amen. I called on him and he saved me. His promise concerning redemption. And then in this chapter right here, there's his promise concerning his return. In verse number 6 here, the Bible said, when therefore they came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. I'll tell you tonight, or this morning, Jesus, he can come before tonight. He can come before this service is over. He's going to return. In verse number 11, they said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That ought to comfort. The Bible said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If you're a child of God, that ought to comfort you to know that we're going to go and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God made us a promise concerning his coming. What did he say over there? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will. No, might, maybe. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One more verse of scripture. Revelation chapter number 22, over towards the end of the book. I want you to think about this. God made a promise concerning his redemption, concerning his return. But he also made a promise concerning his reward. In verse number 12 of chapter 22, he said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm not going to take the time to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, but according to that chapter, the believer is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be rewarded according to our works. I don't know about you. I was reading last week, I believe it was Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and he said, when the Lord puts that crown on my head, he said, I will stand there for a moment. He said, but it'll just be a moment. And I'm going to want to take it off. And I'm going to want to lay it at his feet. Because he's the one that's worthy. Amen. I'd hate to go to heaven empty handed. The Word of God said some are going to go that way. The Bible said they're going to be saved so as by fire. In other words, they trusted Jesus as their Savior, but they never served him. What a shame. Amen. These people that spent time with Jesus in his presence, they volunteered to serve him. Are you serving the Lord? Are you serving him? Amen. Let me say this to you, and I'm not trying to be mean, but we're living in a society where people believe if you go to church once a week, you're serving the Lord. Honey, we come here to worship the Lord. Out yonder's where we serve him. Out yonder's where we can make a difference in somebody else's life. Out yonder's where we can get on our face and pray. Out yonder's where we can be a witness and be a light. It's the little children saying in Bible school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not fussing, you know, but if I'd written a song, I believe I would have said, this big old light of mine, because it's Jesus. If you've got any light whatsoever, it's Jesus, and he ain't little. He's the light of the world. Say amen. The light of the world moved inside the likes of you and the likes of me. Think about that. Think about that. Amen. This same Jesus, if he comes today, are you ready? The man, I'll have his funeral this week. He lives over behind the church that I pastored in Church Hill. His mom called me this morning. And she couldn't remember my number, so she called somebody in the family. And they said, the last four digits are pray. And she remembered the 676 and dialed it, and she got me. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. But let me tell you this. She said he came in, come to see her. He lives next door. Came to see her and said, Mom, I want you to know something. I'm ready. He's had cancer for years, but he said, I'm ready. That's a big word. Ready. Ready. Amen. I like that word at supper time. I like my wife to holler, honey, it's ready. You know what happens when it's ready? I'm ready. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. I want you to know he's coming. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Be you therefore ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? I thought about last night, those bombers. It's something. They had the whole world looking at bombers going west while the real deal was going east. Ain't that something? But you know what? They wasn't ready. And they suffered because of it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus is coming. I want to encourage you. If you're not ready, get ready. That's why he died. He loves you. He loves you. Why do we do what we do week in and week out? Why do we visit? Why do we pray? Why do we study? Why do we preach? Because God has a plan. That plan includes you.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. That's everybody. That he gave his only begotten Son. Father, thank you this morning for the word of the living God. Lord, I pray this morning that, God, you'd help us to understand the need to be ready. To be ready. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we leave this world, heaven will be our home. Thank you for those, Lord, in recent days who've gotten ready. Like that prisoner, they just came to Jesus. They didn't know what to expect. But God, it's always so much better than we could even describe in words. When the load is lifted, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. God, this morning, perhaps in our midst, there's someone that would realize your great love, your great passion, and make your presence real to them, Lord. Draw them, our Lord, with cords of compassion. Help them, dear Lord, today. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together this morning.